The unnamed protagonist of Blood Meridian, known simply as The Kid, enters the world already marked by death. Born in Tennessee in 1833, his mother dies in childbirth, leaving him with a father who drowns himself in alcohol and rambling poetry. At 14, the kid flees, drifting westward through Memphis to New Orleans, where his true nature emerges in brutal fights with sailors that leave him feeling mankind itself vindicated through violence. Shot twice by a Maltese boatswain, he's nursed back to health only to disappear into Texas once recovered, establishing the rhythm of violence, intervention, and quiet vanishing that defines his existence. By 1849, at 16, he arrives in Nacogdoches during relentless rain. Fate intervenes when he enters a revival tent where an enormous, hairless man, Judge Holden, calmly denounces the preacher as a fraud and child molester. Later, in a hotel bar, when questioned about his knowledge of the Reverend, the judge admits he'd never seen the man before, causing strange silence before the room erupts in laughter. This casual manipulation foreshadows the judge's role as the novel's philosophical center. After a vicious fight with a branded man named Toadvine, they burn down the hotel together. As the kid rides past the flames, Judge Holden sits horseback watching, smiling at him, a moment of recognition binding their destinies together. The desolate American frontier looms as a character, barren and unforgiving. The kid wanders through this wasteland, surviving by begging and stealing. He finds shelter with a half-mad hermit whose dark philosophy resonates. When God made man, the devil was at his elbow. In San Antonio, death's presence is unmistakable. Lime-covered corpses, bullet-riddled stone saints, and a decapitated Virgin Mary. After a violent bar fight, the kid joins Captain White's filibustering expedition. White rails against Mexicans as a race of degenerates, promising land to those who help liberate Mexican territory. The kid trades his mule for equipment and joins this ill-fated mission. The expedition meets its brutal end when confronting a Comanche war party. A legion of horribles dressed in stolen finery and victims' blood-stained uniforms. The ensuing battle becomes a nightmarish scene of arrows, knives, and dismemberment, transforming into one of literature's most horrific massacres. The kid joins Glanton's scalp hunting company, contracted by Mexican authorities to collect Apache scalps for $100 each. Among them is Judge Holden, outsized, childlike, with a naked white face, alongside two John Jacksons, one black and one white, who despise each other. The judge manipulates through calculated discourse. Expriest Tobin recalls finding Judge Holden when lost in the desert. The judge created gunpowder from volcanic materials, enabling an Apache ambush. When the kid questions the judge's title, Tobin warns of his supernatural hearing. Their contracted warfare devolves into indiscriminate slaughter, with Glanton's men attacking peaceful villages. The judge adopts, then murders, a mysterious ash-covered child, and at Hugo Tanks copies ancient rock paintings into his ledger before destroying them, claiming knowledge only to eliminate it. The company's brutality culminates in the massacre of peaceful Tiguas, despite the kid and Toadvine's protests. They enter Chihuahua bloodied and filthy, having betrayed their protective contract, earning an 8,000 peso bounty on Glanton's head. At the Colorado River, the scalp hunters commandeer a ferry operation from a New York doctor. Their simple price gouging escalates to brutal violence. Immigrants are robbed and assaulted, bodies floating downstream past Yuma Camp. Glanton accumulates wealth while the judge oversees their lawless domain, conducting nightly courts where immigrants are tortured for entertainment. Retribution arrives with a dawn attack by Yuma warriors. The kid sees Glanton killed in his bed, skull split by an axe. Wounded by an arrow, he escapes upriver with Toadvine and Tobin. They encounter the judge crossing the desert, naked save for a mud wig and dried meat, who trades for Toadvine's hat. The judge stalks them, accusing the kid of showing mercy to heathens. "Where is the fiddler and where the dance?" he demands, claiming only those fully committed to warfare can truly dance, a dark portent of what's to come. Years pass as the kid, now a man, wanders the West. In San Diego, the judge visits him in prison, reaching through bars and claiming he would have loved him like a son. He accuses the kid of betraying their enterprise by refusing to embrace violence, failing to empty his heart into the common. After release, the man witnesses companions' hangings and carries a Bible he cannot read. In 1878, at 45, he meets a buffalo hunter who laments the great slaughter. Millions killed, meat left to rot. "They're gone," he says. "Every one of them that God ever made is gone, as if they'd never been at all." The man traverses landscapes where bone pickers gather bleached buffalo remains, ecological devastation mirroring human carnage. After killing a challenging youth, he rides into Griffin through rain, past enormous ricks of bones. In a saloon, he finds the judge, unchanged, who describes their meeting as an orchestration for a dance. The novel ends as the man discovers the naked judge waiting in an outhouse, gathering him in his immense and terrible flesh. The judge dances naked, like an enormous infant, playing the fiddle. He never sleeps. He says that he will never die. He is dancing, dancing. He says that he will never die. Blood Meridian strips away the romantic facade of the American frontier, revealing the genocide beneath westward expansion. Through Judge Holden, part philosopher, part devil, McCarthy presents violence not as an aberration, but as the fundamental force of human history, declaring, "War is God." The novel's power lies in both its unflinching brutality and the hypnotic beauty of its prose. McCarthy's biblical language transforms historical horror into dark poetry, while forcing us to confront our national origin story as one of senseless slaughter. The kid's rare acts of mercy provide the only glimpse of moral choice in this deterministic universe. Yet the judge's eternal dance in the epilogue, along with the mysterious figure striking fire from prairie stones, suggests violence remains just beneath civilization's surface, and peace is merely an illusion. Blood Meridian confronts us with harsh truths about human nature and national identity. The West wasn't won. It was taken in blood. Our civilization built on bones. The judge's immortality suggests violence isn't something we can transcend. McCarthy's beautiful prose makes us complicit, seducing us with descriptions of horror. We find ourselves caught between revulsion and admiration, forcing us to examine our own relationship with violence. The kid's acts of mercy offer the only resistance to this deterministic vision, yet even he cannot escape. His final encounter with the judge suggests no one can stand apart from history's bloodshed. Strip away our myths of progress and civilization, and only the judge remains, dancing eternally, never sleeping, never dying. He embodies our darkest impulses, the violence that preceded and will outlast us. The frontier may close, but the dance continues.